May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, may the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. There are two cups before you. One cup is full of clean, filtered water, probably bought at Jacob's Well, so you know it's really good. It's come right out of the refrigerator. There's some filtered ice in there. It's ready to be drunk. It's ready to go. The other cup is full of gasoline. There's some diesel mixed into it. And because WD-40 makes everything better, a shot or two of WD-40. Now, which are you going to drink? Pastor Bard, you have lost your mind. That is possible, but not about this. You see, given two choices, the choice to take in what is nourishing and what is good for us and what will help us, and given the choice to take in what poisons us daily, at least according to Luther in the Small Catechism, daily you and I reach for what is poison. Daily you and I drink the sin. And I think for us, as we begin this season of Lent, this idea takes us to the issue of temptation. I don't know that we grapple with our temptations. Lutherans are especially challenged by this, right? Because we are so confident in the cross and we are so confident in what Christ has done for us, we have kind of a laissez-faire attitude about sin. Sin on Monday, ask for forgiveness on Sunday, we're all good. Because of our emphasis on grace, sometimes we forget that sin is poison to the soul, that it will kill us. And so while you and I would never drink a cup of gasoline, daily we choose sin over resisting the temptation. Completely illogical, and yet for us, temptation is elementary. We see our Lord Jesus today dealing with temptation. And in context here, we see Jesus dealing with the temptation to doubt. Luke writes, "Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And Jesus ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry." You gotta love Luke. He's gotten to get the details right here. "The devil said to Jesus, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And so the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then Lucifer said to Jesus, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours, Jesus.' And Jesus answered Satan, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Lucifer took Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" This is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Jesus is baptized, and then this is the next event, his temptation. Matthew and Luke make a big deal about the temptation. Mark, as Mark often does, says, "By the way, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness." And then Mark moves on, because Mark's in a hurry. And we see here in the Luke reading, we see here Jesus being tested. Do you trust the Lord, Jesus? Do you trust the Lord with the plan? Trust is an issue for us, isn't it? And so often, so much of the temptation that Satan pushes on us is a matter of whether or not we are going to lean into the Lord and trust Him, or a matter of trying to take matters into our own hands to fix things ourselves. Because, you know, we're Americans. And as Americans, we're independent. We want to solve our own problems. How often, oh my goodness, dear ones, how often do you and I go to the Father only at the last minute? Only when there is no other opportunity. And when we recognize that, what do? We look at each other and go, well, I guess we could pray. Maybe we should have started with that. This is a temptation to doubt. When we say to the Lord, Lord, I'll fix this. Lord, I got this. Lord, I really don't need you. You can hang out and watch if you want. And Almighty God watches you and I flail around trying to answer the biggest challenges of our lives and trying to answer them ourselves. So here is Jesus, right? And 40 days. And after 40 days, Luke says, Jesus is... Okay, I know it's spring break. And I know you lost an hour of sleep last night. And I know I should just be thankful you're here. And I am. But it's time to engage. Jesus is hungry. Right? And it's almost as if we want to go, Luke, duh. 40 days, no food? I'm waiting for some Christian writer to come out with the Jesus diet. And what is the Jesus diet? 40 days with no food. Yeah, that would not go over well. Lucifer says, look, here's a rock. Jesus, you're hungry. Turn it into bread. And there's an aspect of this, of trust. Will the Father be faithful to Jesus? Will the Father's plan work? It was the Father's plan to set aside food. Will the Father now see that I eat? Jesus resists and responds with Scripture. And we'll get back to that in a moment. And the next thing is it's supernatural, where Satan takes Jesus and in a moment of time shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Right? And that's impressive even for those of us who grew up on big screen movies where all manner of crazy stuff happens. Lucifer says, here's all the kingdoms of the world. All you have to do, Jesus, is worship me. The Father's plan was for Jesus to redeem all the kingdoms of the world at the cross. So really what Lucifer is offering, at least an aspect of what he's offering here, is a shortcut, an easy way, a surefire easy way for Jesus to accomplish the mission. Does Jesus trust the Father? Knowing that it's the Father's plan. Or does Jesus take matters into his own hands? And again, did you notice, with what does Jesus respond? Scripture. The last of the temptations, at least as you and I have them recorded in the Gospels, is that Jesus is taken by Lucifer to the pinnacle of the temple. Just for reference, think the very top of the cross that is right through the star, right there in the top of the roof. He takes Jesus up there, and he says, you know, what you're trying to do, Jesus, is gather a group of people to follow you. What better way to gather people than to do something spectacular? So Jesus, jump down, and people will see that you don't get hurt, that you're not harmed, and then they will believe in you. Then they will trust you, and then you can form the church. That wasn't the Father's plan, though, was it? The Father's plan was to gather a small group of people, 11 men and some ladies at the end, and form the church from that. Not some spectacular trickery. And how does Jesus respond? Again, with Scripture. In each instance, and each very different, and yet similar in the sense that Satan lays out each time a challenge. Do you, Jesus, trust your Father to do what the Father said? And there is a truism here about temptation. The temptations that you and I face each day, a lot of those have to do with whether or not we will trust the Father to care for us. Think with me. How often do we as Christians look at each other and go, "Trust the Lord"? I mean, it's a really pious thing to say. And we say it as if, you know what? I forgot to turn the trust switch on the back of my head. Let me flick that on now. Trusting the Lord is difficult because trusting the Lord means that you and I, Carrie Underwood fan, let Jesus take the wheel. Not in Scripture, but at least you got the idea and you smiled at me, which proved to me you're awake at whatever time this actually is in the morning. Trusting the Lord is difficult. And so what does Satan do? But Satan offers you and I all manner of ways to fix our lives, to correct our lives, to work out our lives, and to do it ourselves. Instead of looking at our Lord God and saying, "I am yours. I belong to you. I trust you." I was going to go through all 10 commandments, but Pastor Eden did that on Ash Wednesday. And I growled at him, and he just laughed at me. Thought it was very disrespectful. He said, "Go through all 10 commandments anyway," but I thought I'd rather make fun of him by telling you that story than go through them. But honestly, I think it's too much. I think in just a few commandments, you and I can see how we're challenged, right? First commandment, have no other. Oh, it's so clear, right? Am I going to be my own God, or am I going to trust the Lord God to be my God? For the people of the Old Testament, that was all about whether or not they were going to pray only to Yahweh or whether they were going to pray to all the little gods of the peoples and try to trust them both. Second commandment, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, which for us as Christians is the reverse of what it is for the world. I assume that your language is language the Lord approves of, which means that for you and I, God says, "I'm giving you my name, the name of my son. Learn to pray." Do I learn to pray? Do I learn to trust the Lord? Or do I learn to keep doing things myself? Because I'm not sure. The third commandment commands the Sabbath day for the people of the Old Testament. It didn't matter whether it was harvest. It didn't matter whether it was planting season. It didn't matter whether it was time to prepare the harvest for food and for grain for the coming year. At sundown on Friday, you stopped your work. That was a matter of trust. Because who knew if your crop was going to get hailed out the next day? You had to trust the Lord. In just those three commandments, and we could do this with all 10 of them, you and I recognize the aspect of looking at our Lord God and saying to Him, "You know what, Lord? I surrender to You." It really isn't something Lutherans say a lot or preach a lot or teach a lot, but it is a very scriptural concept. This is it not Luther's morning prayer? "I thank you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger." And essentially the rest of the prayer is you and I saying, "You know what, Lord? I'm about to start the day and I need you to guide me to direct me, to work within me. Again, so often we look at each other and say, you just need to trust the Lord, as if that was easy. Trusting the Lord is an exercise of faith. And you know how we build our faith? With Scripture. This is how Jesus redirects Satan each time. He quotes the Scripture back to Lucifer. And you gotta love Lucifer, right? He's a master strategist, because he gets to the end of the temptations, and what does he do? He quotes Scripture to Jesus. As if you could quote the Word of God to the man who is the very Word of God. I often have talked to you about people who give things up for Lent. And for the last decade or so, I have discouraged you from giving things up for Lent, because then it becomes a fight with the thing, right? Pastor, I'm giving up Facebook and Instagram and cable news and Coke for Lent. Then your fight is with Facebook and Instagram and cable news and Coke. I haven't shared this story with you for a long time, but I think it plays here. It's the first Sunday of Lent, right? A decade ago, I gave up Cokes, soda, for Lent. Ash Wednesday, one of our dear members went to the hospital. I went to the hospital to visit them. There is the Coke machine. You know the picture on the Coke machine. It's a picture of a can of Coke with the condensation drizzling down the side. And the can of Coke has just been opened, which means above the Coke, there's a spray of Coke in the air. And all of a sudden, your sanctification becomes about a dollar and a quarter. This is not Lent. Instead of giving up something, I have begged you to take up the Scriptures. Pastor Bart, I read my Bible. Double it for Lent. Pastor Bart, I already doubled it. Quadruple it, which I think means four. Why is that? Because it is in the Word of God that you and I find the Holy Spirit working within us strength and peace and confidence, so that we might trust the Lord. Pastor Bart, how can I be sure, though? How can you and I be sure that we can trust God with the details, with the challenges of our lives? And the answer to that very real, very important question is this. The Lord God has already provided for you and for me the thing we need most. Forgiveness. The Father has already provided for you and for me forgiveness of our sins through Jesus. Our confidence comes here, because there, dear ones, is the proof that God loves us. Right there is proof that God is going to be with us. Right there is proof that the Lord is dependable. And when you and I find ourselves tempted to doubt, we turn to the cross. And we remember again that God has been faithful. Romans 8. You know Romans 8, right? Starts out, there is now therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. It's my favorite chapter of Paul. And toward the end of Romans 8, there's that great series of neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hiding in the middle of all that. The Apostle Paul makes this point. And I think you and I miss it because the English, it doesn't matter the translation. No English translator has ever gotten this well because it's just hard. I don't do any better than anybody else does. I'm not saying I could. I can't. But in the middle of Romans 8, Paul, it's not a sneaky verse, but Paul drops this knowledge. And it's basically this. How will he being God the Father, how will he not also give us the church? How will he, God the Father, not also give us, the church, all things because he has already given us him? Him is Jesus. And that's Paul's point. The Father has already given you and I Jesus Christ. The Father has already proven his love for you and me. The Father has already demonstrated how much he cares for us. Our trust in him begins right there. This is how you and I are sure. This is how we are confident that when we exercise our faith and trust him, he will be faithful. Dear ones, his grace, his peace, his mercy be to us. In Jesus' name, amen.